Spending a lot of time at the mall these days, dear listeners, looking for that perfect gift for someone. Endless stacks of CD players, VCRs, PDAs. It all makes you dizzy, doesn't it? Here to help us through the maze of possible choices is technology expert Shenny Jardin. She's got tips about which gadgets will make great gifts, and she's brought some along. Shenny, what have you got there in the bag of goodies?
I've got all kinds of stuff for you, Alex. First, I want to show you this portable DVD player. Carrying this thing around is a little bit like carrying your living room around with you wherever you go. This is a rather small one. It has a 5-inch screen. I have it placed in my hand, and it just barely covers my entire hand. It literally fits in the palm of your hand. And what I like about this is that I can see how I'm sort of folding the monitor.
Fold the screen down.
Yeah, yeah. And you can sort of move it independently from the body, which is kind of unusual for these DVD players. So if you imagine yourself sitting in a plane seat, you can adjust the angle very comfortably. Portable DVD players come in a wide variety of sizes and price ranges. They start right around $200 and they go up to $1,000 or more for the higher end models.
If I'm shopping for one of these, what do I look for?
First in my list is battery life. Some of the better portable DVD players have 3 or more hours, and you want something that's going to be long enough that you can actually get some use out of it if you're on a long car or plane trip, for instance. Another thing, screen size. The great thing about the one that I have here in the studio is that it's small, but you're also dealing with a very small screen. So if a bigger image is important to you, then you might want to go for something larger. Weight. Two devices that are the same size could be completely different weight depending on the way the battery is designed, and durability. Some of the more popular models are actually ruggedized for sort of rougher travel. I'm imagining this one is kind of fragile.
This is a Panasonic model that you have. It's, again, a 5-inch screen, and you would pay about $400 for this.
Correct.
Okay. You have a portable digital music player here. I just got a CD player with a radio so that I can listen to the radio when I'm coming into work on my bicycle. But I don't know if that was the right thing to get. Maybe I should have gotten one of these instead.
Well, here, why don't you hold this? This is called an iRiver digital music player. It's basically a knockoff of the iPod. iRiver has a number of different models.
This is about the size of a cell phone.
About the size of a cell phone. That one retails for right around $300. The big idea with these is that you can download songs from the net or copy them from your own CD collection, play them while you're out jogging, walking, doing yard work, whatever. Some of them are very small. Some of them are about half that size, say half the size of a power bar. Others are a little bit larger. So a couple of points to consider before you head to the mall or the web shopping for a digital music player. Think about how important it is to you that the device be ultra compact. There are different sizes to choose from that usually also correspond to the amount of storage space and to the price, generally speaking. Think about how much storage space you want. 256 megs is about 8 hours of music. That's in the sort of $60 range. The popular iPod offers 10, 20, 40 gig versions. That's a lot of music. That could probably fit my entire music collection. I don't know about yours. Think also about the file formats that the device supports. Just MP3, or, you know, if you're buying songs from Napster, you want to make sure that it supports Windows Media Audio. Mm-hmm. If you're buying your songs from iTunes, you want to make sure that it supports the AAC format like the iPod does.
Huh. Okay, well, that sounds good. Let's go to the last gift that you've brought in here, and this is?
This is an Ultra Swank Universal Remote. That retails for around $199. You can give it commands by touching this touchscreen display. It's almost like a little computer display.
It doesn't have a set of keypads like most remotes that I've seen. This one actually has
ordinary
a little
buttons.
Touchscreen.
Yeah. And you can also program this using your PC. The amazing thing about this device and others like it is that you could conceivably teach it to learn the code for just about any home entertainment gadget that communicates using infrared.
If I get a new TV or a new tuner or something 2 years from now, I won't have to get a new remote because this thing will be able to figure out what that device is and talk to it.
That's how they sell it. So the idea is that it's future-proofed. You can buy a perfectly good, ordinary universal remote with buttons that isn't programmable by PC for anywhere from $20 to $60. And a few things to think about with this, too. I mean, first, what's your budget? Do you really need something that's as sophisticated as the one that I've showed you here? How many devices do you need to operate, and what kind? These can get very complicated for geeky people who like to spend time programming universal remotes.
Jenny Jardin, technology contributor to Day to Day. Thanks for coming in and bringing these gadgets.
Thank you, Alex.
Next week, more gadgets?
I promise.
For a list of Jenny's tips and pictures of the gadgets we talked about today, check out our website, npr.org.